Welcome back, beautiful gemsters. Thank you so much for listening to another episode here on Gems Podcast. With me today is a very special guest. Her name is Nancy Dillingham Marks. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Nancy, and then we're going to dive into some of the work that she's doing today, and you'll get to learn all about her. So if you're a note taker like me, pull out your pen, your pencil, your piece of paper, or your keyboard and get to typing, because you definitely don't want to miss the gems that will be shared. So here we go. Nancy Marks, a fused glass artist. After a 35-year corporate career, she took a creative leap and found her passion in fused glass art. Her journey began with a single class. Despite her initial self-doubt about having any artistic talent, to her surprise, she discovered a knack for working with glass and embraced the imperfect beauty of her creations. Wow. Ooh. Recognizing a gap in the market for unique handmade gifts, she founded Glass Arts Collective, a local glass art studio. Here, she shares her passion, enabling others to explore glass art and witness their creative visions take shape. Don't miss the chance to join this artistic journey at Glass Arts Collective. So without further ado, let's welcome the woman, the creative behind it all, Nancy Dillingham Marks.
I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you because you're actually the first person on the show to be talking about glass arts. So I'm excited to learn more about this creative space. So I want to go back to the beginning of your corporate career. And the reason why I want to go here, Nancy, is sometimes people look at where we are currently and they forget where we started. So there's always an importance to remember where we came from and how it has catapulted and morphed us to where we are. So you mentioned in your bio, you had a 35-year corporate career. So what industry were you in and what was the breaking point for you to transition out?
Well, I was in a lot of different positions. I always thought corporate was the place to be. There's room for opportunity, there's room for growth, and there's lots of corporations out there. So I started off, I moved to California and gave myself a month to find a job. And I had a friend advise me to go to an employment agency. And I went, and the first interview was for a clerk typist. And they hired me on the spot to start the next day. And I said, I am meant to be here. So that was my very first jump into corporate. And I was assisting the accounting and back then it was called personnel. And we had a union in the back, a Teamsters union. And the poor girl trying to do payroll just wasn't dealing well with the computer, the shift differentials, understanding the whole process. And it all made sense to me. I have a logical mind. I actually took programming in college on punch cards for those that definitely dates my time. And it just all made sense to me. So she decided to leave and I was all upset because I felt like I'd pushed her out. And she's like, no. She goes, this is not the place for me. This is not what I want to be doing. So this is great. I at least know they'll be in good hands. So it's like, okay. You know, you hear about all these things when people talk about corporate and, you know, climbing the ladder and what they do to people. So I was already had a mindset of being overly aware of my own thoughts. And from there, I went to ABC Entertainment and I started off in the personnel office because I already had a good background for that. And I started to get a little bored. You know, I don't sit still very well, shall we say. And so I went over to ABC Motion Pictures for a major leap and figured that side out, enjoyed it. My boss took me with him to Columbia Pictures. And then I found out that when your boss leaves, you're out of a job. And I didn't like that idea. It's like, wait a minute, what happened to job security in being in corporate? So I went over to the IT department and I was over there for 10 years. And I was the director of administration and operations on the paperwork side, not the networking side. And I learned a tremendous amount about working within a large corporation and the different departments, and it worked really well for me. It just, all the departments made sense. I could see their points of view. So if something wasn't working for me, instead of being upset with them, I would go over and ask them, help me understand where I'm disconnected from what you guys have to have and need to do versus what I have and think you're going to be doing. And we'd all laugh about it and have a great conversation. And then it just made sense. So then the way I presented things was better for them. And it worked so well. And my mom was the one who taught me to have a voice there. And I will admit, my voice wasn't necessarily friendly to begin with. And I learned that was not the way to talk to people. So I started talking with a happy voice and a open mind of how do we work better together when I want to talk to somebody.
And that
catapulted me quite well in most of the jobs I went to after that. So I jumped from there to, I worked for Toshiba, I worked for CompUSA, I worked for a division of Avnet, which is a networking infrastructure division. And I went to IBM. And I had met my second husband through this little journey. And after being a single parent for so long, it was kind of a nice idea to be doing something else. And he owned a network infrastructure business.
Wow.
And so that's taking care of everything in the walls. So everything that connects your computer and protects you from the outside world is his lifestyle and business. So we decided that we should work together as we were making our lives together. And so I ended up doing a lot of sales, but also the operations and running the business. So now I'm back down to a little business, which I was not as used to being in a corporation. And I found I could make a lot more decisions that way, and we could get things done faster, improve processes faster, because I pretty much had to talk to myself to say, why is this not working? But I continued to use the, what does the distributor need information-wise or the customer, just to make sure we were all providing the best possible service to each other. And that was very successful. He decided to sell the business and retire. And I was ready to retire. So that was terrific. But I had this gut that just kept telling me, I'm not ready to retire yet. And I learned about fused glass. And I'll explain what that is in a moment. But about a year and a half before I was ready to quasi-retire.
Yeah, so I'm going to stop you there really quick.
Okay,
if I can,
yeah.
Because, I mean, this journey is exciting because you're in corporate America. You started small. Then you're having these big player moves, climbing the ladder, learning new things. And all of these things are preparing you for where you are now because you're learning about, you know, different industries and how to run businesses. And now you're no longer an employee, you're an employer because you have your own company now. So the roles have switched, but the knowledge that you have acquired from there has transitioned and transformed to where you are now. So I wanted to just stop and interject there for anyone listening. If you are in an employee bucket, don't think what you're doing does not matter or the company does not care about you, because the skill sets that you are gaining, you can leverage them later on, whether you start a side business and that side business turns into a full-time gig. So never second guess who you are and what your capabilities are, because you never know how the things that you learn will be the ones that have acquired you in order to employ someone else when you thought you were just an employee. I just wanted to interject that there, Nancy.
I'm really glad you did, because it is such a good point. And learning to see something from both sides is so critical. I mean, especially if you're an employee, as you raise up in the ranks and you're now a manager, you know, understanding that not everybody can get the same directions, but they might all hear it slightly differently. And that doesn't make anybody right or wrong. It's the perception that we all create that somebody's wrong. Somebody has to be wrong. Rather than just, hey, let's get together and talk it out a little bit further so we understand that we're all on the same page and get us all in the same direction. And you gain so much respect from your staff when you see that something's not right. And then rather than berating them or waiting, you know, till their review to tell them they weren't doing something right, talk to people, talk to them, and help them to be in the right place and doing the right thing. And their lives will be more fulfilled and you'll be more productive, all of you.
Yes. And I also love the fact that before I did that interjection, you said when your husband retired, you weren't quite ready to retire because there was an inkling inside. So that gut instinct, that intuition, that discernment was just telling you, Nancy Dillingham Marks, there's more for you to do. And that led you to going to a class which was fused glass art. And now here we are. So tell us how that came about, how it went from the cocoon to the beautiful butterfly.
Well, I enjoyed arts and crafts classes. But somewhere along the path, I decided I wasn't creative and that I wasn't artistic. Now, to me, they really are two separate things, but the word is interchanged quite a bit to mean the same thing, which everybody, again, perception. But I didn't think I was creative at all. I didn't think I had an artistic bone in my body. And now my mom has found fused glass at the assisted living facility she's at, and she loves it. And I'd never heard of it. I've heard of blown glass, which is hot and it takes a tremendous amount of talent, and you have to be constantly thinking about what you're doing. And I have so much respect for fused glass artists. Not me. Then I thought about stained glass and stained glass big windows at churches, and oh my gosh, they're gorgeous. But a little too precise requirements on cutting and foiling and grinding, and other people love that. Again, it's not my passion, and that's okay. So I found fused glass because of my mom. I decided to take a class, and I was one of those people who walked in begrudgingly, almost dragging my feet. Like, why am I doing this? And I laughed at myself because I'm doing it for mom. Mom doesn't care what it looks like. Mom's going to be thrilled that there's something she and I are doing together. And that was my driving force, that, you know, getting out of my own way. My self-talk through the years has been less than kind to myself. And I have learned that journey, and I have to continually remind myself of that journey. But I made my first piece of fused glass, which is at room temperature. You're putting pieces on top of a base piece, and you can see a lot of art behind me for those people who are on YouTube. And you put the colors together. You can make designs. You can make specific shapes. You can make it very organic. And then it goes into a kiln. So everything's done in a comfortable environment. And yes, you could be sipping a glass of wine or a cup of coffee. And it goes into a kiln, and the kilns run, it varies on the firing schedule, but basically say 18 hours. So it goes up very slowly temperature-wise, because we're going to 1400 or 1500 degrees. Glass blowing is 2000 degrees, just to put it in a little perspective. And the glass becomes a very thick molten at that temperature, and it fuses together. And while it's fusing together, those little flaws in the cut, somehow, I don't want to say they're perfect, but they meld together. You know, there's a little notch that was missing. It sort of isn't missing anymore. And I call them my kiln elves, who do this magic while I'm sleeping at night, because I just program them and leave.
Oh, wow. That is exciting. And for those who are on YouTube, you could see the pictures behind Nancy. So are these the personal pieces that you have made, Nancy?
They're not just mine. Some of them are other artists in the studio. So I actually have a gift shop here, and the gift shop's now online as well. We ship throughout the United States. And all of my Open Studio membership people are in the gift shop as well. So they're also behind me at all times supporting me. So these pictures include those people who've been supporting me since I opened or soon after. I opened just before COVID for side stories. I mean, it's just, there's been so much fun opening my own place.
I love that. And I want to ask you, with your fused glass art, was there a piece that you made that is very symbolic to you? Like from the time you started fused glass art to where you are now, is there one piece that you cherish dearly?
Yes. Yes, there is. I made a piece very early on, and it is a wall hanging. It's a colorful piece in the back of striped colors. And then there is a 3D vase that's epoxied to the front. And in it are flowers. And I have my flower vase with a little butterfly up in the corner. And it smiles at me every day that I'm in the studio. It is bright, it's cheerful. And in my mind, most of the pieces I had seen are all one-dimensional. They might be shaped a little bit, but they're pretty much one-dimensional. And I wanted something 3D. I wanted something that showed being different, because I feel I am. I'm different. And I've had people ask me to sell it, and I just can't. It brightens my day. I love the studio, period. Okay, so I would be fine without it, but I can't. I can't sell it. It has too many very, very special memories.
Thank you for sharing that. Have you ever thought, since you're not going to sell that piece due to how precious it is to you personally, have you thought about replicating it?
Oh, I can't make the same thing twice.
Oh, okay.
I can't. I will make similar types of things, but I cannot make the same thing twice. In my book, handmade is handmade, and it's one of a kind. And and I don't think I actually could make two things exactly the same anyways, but I have no desire to.
Okay, thank you. And y'all, that just squashes it in case some of you were asking too. One of the other things that came to my mind is early on, you said you didn't think that you were creative or had an artistic bone in you. But I believe that was self-talk that was talking to you. So for someone else who believes the same thing, like, oh my gosh, I'm not creative, I don't think I'm artistic, how can you tell them to quiet the noise and know the difference between creative and artistic? Because I feel like we all are, like this podcast is creative and it's artistic in a way that I bring it together. And at the end,
yes,
I'm going to actually do our get to know Nancy, because I didn't do it in the beginning.
You know what? It really is a mindset. I mean, if you think back when you were a child, you colored in the coloring book and you didn't care if you colored outside the lines. In fact, it probably entertained you that you weren't perfect and you didn't do things. It comes from, we're all pretty judgmental of ourselves, more, and we're harder on ourselves than anyone else would ever be on us when it comes to something we've made. And even today, the artists who I work with here, they'll look at something and go, and I'm like, oh my God, that's gorgeous. And they go, really? And I'm like, yes. And sometimes they see something before I do. Sometimes I see it before they do. And I haven't seen anything made that wasn't amazing. Now, some pieces are more amazing than others. I mean, I don't have a guide of this is a one amazing or a 10 amazing, but there are some things that, I mean, just like anything, there's going to be things you see that you like as a person, and see some things you don't particularly like, but that doesn't mean it's any less amazing. I mean, the talent and the techniques and the styles and the colors that get put together. I mean, we've got several people who I call them chefs. You can give them a pile of glass and they can make an incredible piece out of it. And you just sit there in awe of, how did you do that? So I think my advice to somebody who doesn't trust themselves is start simple. I mean, even if it's taking a sketch pad and drawing a design, abstract, you know, make a puzzle for yourself, draw different colors together, different shapes together. Keep it small, keep it simple, but step back and look at it, and kind of, you're probably, like most people, going to suddenly say, wait a minute, I like that. Because not everyone's going to have fused glass as their passion as much as I do. But art is so many more things. There's music, there's painting, there's woodworking, there's writing. I mean, art is such a large area of life. And people have a tendency of only looking at certain things as being art, and that's not the case. And it's just finding what really stimulates you and makes you happy. And if writing, you know, really makes you happy, or even just doodling makes you happy, that's terrific. And you'll find there's a mental health benefit to that. Because when you're doing whatever it is that's your passion, you get focused on it and your mind is just open to playing with whatever you're doing. And you sort of forget all the other stuff that's going on outside of you. And for at least a little while, you're relaxing and you're just self-meditating. And it's amazing how different someone can feel, even if just 5, 10 minutes. So not everything has to be big and expensive. I mean, I had my husband tell me how, you know, gee, glass is expensive. I'm like, yeah, so is playing golf. You play golf all the time. I play with glass all the time. You know, it's so perception.
Let's just dive in there for that, because I think that perception is key. And now sustainability is big. So can you use recycled glass, like go collect glass from other places since you're going to heat it up and then form it into other things? Is that a go infuse glass part?
Yes and no. I would say primarily no. And the reason being is all glass has what's called a coefficient of expansion, COE number. And if the numbers aren't the same, so like blown glass is a very different number than what fused glass is. So if I only use the same number, there's a really good chance it'll work together. But even like wine bottles, not all wine bottles have the same, because whoever makes them are making them differently. So you can't even work like two different colors of wine bottles together. You can take one and slump it or drape it or break it and put it back together, but you wouldn't be able to use it with the type of glass I'm working with today. So,
so that busted
it's
my
not
myth.
As easy. Yeah, it's not quite as easy as in that respect.
Okay. And one other thing I want to chime in here, because you mentioned the benefits of mental health. And I think that's really important that we as individuals find something that takes us to a place where we learn what our passion is, whether it's in some form of creative space or artistic space, because your passion can really lead you to your purpose if you're going through life and you're like, I don't know what my purpose is, because you don't want to just be living, you want to be existing, and you want to be here to truly make an imprint, to drive an impact for now and future generations to come. So whenever you get in a space where it's just you and art, media, nature, whatever your thing is, you begin to learn more about yourself internally. And as you're learning about yourself internally, it's also showing up externally in the work that you're doing, the creative space that you're making and holding, how you feel. Anxiety is lessened, stress is lessened, you're paying attention to how you're breathing, your body is at a sense of peace, calmness, and etc. Because you rather do that versus going somewhere and ending up on some type of pharmaceutical drugs that's going to have side effects. And I'm not saying that pharmaceutical drugs are bad, because I am in healthcare now, and I did have a career change from oil and gas after being in it for 12 years, and I do look very young, but I want to say that because I've seen some of my friends who have gotten on some of this medication, and it's very hard to get off of it, but once they change their lifestyle, they change their mindset, their perspective, and they find something that uplifts them, then you could see how their mental health begins to stabilize.
Absolutely. But actually, something else based on what you mentioned earlier, the sustainability and everything, we reuse all our glass. So when glass is cut up and into littler pieces, we're still reusing it. So when I have a class and people are cutting the glass and there's small pieces, we save it all. We make something else out of it. And if you make a piece that you really don't like, you can break it and make it into something else. So within the same COE, basically, but it's fascinating because we don't throw much out. in the way of, I mean, I have little cups for the glue and little toothpicks for the glue, and that's about it. Otherwise, the wrapper maybe, but for the most part, it's incredible how we recycle internally. And that makes me feel really good because the glass comes from Portland, Oregon. We use Bullseye Glass Company. So it's all made in the US, and we keep the environment going well. And I don't run the kilns till the rates are lower, and it's off time frames to again save for the energy for our families.
And thank you for sharing that. Do you have anything solar, like solar panels or anything?
I don't, only because I'm in an industrial park and this is a lease. And I don't want to put something, invest in something that I wouldn't be able to take with me someday.
Oh, that's understandable. Yes. Almost like a generator in an MOB building, like a medical office building. You don't want to install those there because you can't just pick up a generator and take it.
Exactly. Once it's installed, it stays.
So another thing, Nancy, does your husband play with any of the fused glass? Even though he's a golfer, has he said, you know what, Nancy, I'm going to make some glass with you and kind of get in your groove?
No, he has not. He doesn't feel he has a creative bone in his body and doesn't even want to try. But that's okay. He enjoys the pieces I bring home. And most of the glass is food safe. So we use a lot of the glass at home as well. And when we have parties here at the studio, our tables are set with glass that we made here. So yeah, he's happy to take the benefits of the glass I've made.
I chuckled because you said that you didn't have a creative bone or wasn't artistic. So I wonder if your other partner, your husband, your rib, if he's like, you know what, I'm not that. But then whenever he actually tries to be like, wow, who had known? Like, I had no idea, or whatever his catchphrase may be once he tries it, because there's things that I've told my husband to try, and he's like, no, I'm not good at it. And then when he tries it, he's like, oh, I actually like this. And I'm like, but you didn't want to try it in the beginning.
Well, I didn't think I was athletic either, and I play golf, and I sort of have been proving myself I'm not very athletic, but I sure enjoy it anyways. Golf courses are beautiful.
I love that. And I love that you've tried what he's passionate about, because you've also taken a leap out of your, comfort zone too, in a sense. So that is beautiful, especially when you could do life together and share each other's interests. And I know we're coming close to time. So before we jump into the CTA, I want to do the get to know Nancy that I normally do in the beginning, but every show is different. So are you up for a rapid fire or an icebreaker?
Sure.
Okay, this is going to be 10 questions, rapid. We're going to get to know Nancy so the audience can know you a little bit more, and then we're going to wind down with the CTA, which is a call to action. So here we go, y'all. We're playing rapid fire with Nancy Dillingham Marks and Genesis. Do, 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 do. Yes, my voice sounds different because it's hoarse, but that's okay. So, question number one, what's your favorite color?
I actually have to say it is light cyan.
Light cyan. Question two. What is your drink of choice? Coffee, tea, or something else?
Tea.
Question three. If you had 24 to 72 hours, would you trade places with someone else or remain yourself?
Oh, I'd remind myself.
Question four. If you could have lunch or dinner with any person, past or present, who would it be and why?
My daughter.
Aw.
Because
Okay.
I don't get to see her all the time. She's not that far away, but oh my gosh, I have such a good time with her.
Question five. You get three random acts of kindness per day, but let's not limit it to three. What would your three be for today?
Today I had a group. I came into work on my day off, and I had a birthday party here for a 10-year-old who was absolutely delightful. I got out of the house so that the painter would be able to work and I wouldn't be disruptive or to him or to myself. And going out to dinner with friends tonight.
Love it. Question six. What is one of the scariest things you have done in your life so far, but it has actually built your character?
Let's see. I think getting my first divorce. I only have one divorce. Sorry, I shouldn't have said it that way. I only have one divorce. It was getting divorced.
Okay, question seven. Would you skydive, bungee jump, or zip line?
Oh, I'll probably zip line. I wouldn't want to do any of them, but if I had to pick one, it would be zip line.
Okay. Question eight. What is your favorite food or cuisine?
Candy. Actually, I love vegetables. I love vegetables.
The first time I got that one too. Question nine. Okay, is there a quote or mantra that you live by that picks you up when you're feeling blue?
I have a go for it attitude. So, if I'm feeling blue, whatever it is I need to do, I just need to go for it
Love
and just keep
it.
going.
And go for it, y'all. You should put that on a hat, Nancy. And question 10, it is our pass or play question. And here are the rules. If you pass, our roles are reversed and you can ask me any question. If you play, I ask one last question to wrap up rapid fire. So are we passing or playing?
Oh, I'll play it. And I'm going for it.
Okay. You just won the lottery. Cha-cha, cha-cha. However, before you get your proceeds released, you must donate to a charity of your choice. What charity are you donating to first?
A charity I just learned about, and I cannot pronounce the name correctly, but it's Hydrodermath something. And it's actually a brain disorder. And people, every 15 minutes, someone is having brain surgery because of it. So that would be the first one. And then type 1 diabetes would be my second one. And then there's more
Wow.
after that, but we run out of time if I keep talking about them.
I love that. So something that is benefiting those that are undergoing brain surgeries that happen every 15 minutes. So y'all, your homework is to Google what that is and learn about it. And then type
Yes.
1 diabetes. So now you've learned a little bit more about Nancy and rapid fire. So now we're gonna zoop over to the CTA, which is our call to action, which is a part that Nancy has for you, because what good is listening to the segment if we don't give you homework so you can apply it? So, Nancy Dillingham Marks, I want you to tell the audience how they could connect with you, what's your website, where you hang out primarily on social media, and give them some homework to do.
Okay, so the website is Glass Arts with an S on it, collective.com. And you can get reach me through that info at glassartscollective.com, as well as 818, which is Southern California, 318-1462, if you want to talk to me. And the homework assignment is to go onto the website, look up two frequently asked questions, and look up three different artists to check out the different styles in the gift shop.
And there you have it, folks. You just heard from none other than the only Nancy Dillingham Marks here on Gems Podcast. We talked about her passion for Fuse Glass Arts and her business, Glass Arts Collective. If you're on YouTube, you can see the name over in the top left-hand corner. Make sure you connect with her. Take a Fuse Glass Arts class, one in your area, if you're not in Southern California, where the sun is shining. But also tap into any other creative faith or arts that may interest you to learn more about yourself. And I am Miss Genesis Amaris Kemp, and I am signing out with homework for you too. I want you to follow the podcast and leave a review. We're on 40 plus audio platforms, and the review is to let me know what you like, what you don't like, and anything you want to hear, because that's going to help me. Feedback is a gift, and just package it up nicely, and I take what applies and build upon it. And until then, peace, love, and lots of blessings. Remember, you matter. You were created on purpose, for purpose. So don't ever let somebody tell you what you aren't, who you aren't, and where you can't go. You are here for a purpose. So live your life limitless.